What's up, everybody? Today we're talking about all the drama that's happening on America's Got Talent with Gabrielle Union and a lot more on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. I'm your host, Dario Kristen. Courtney Stewart is not joining us today, but she is very upset because of my two special guests today. They are TV and movie royalty. Royalty. Reagan Gomez and Anne-Marie Johnson are here with me today.
Hello.
I'm excited. Christmas season is here. You guys are going to be talking about your Christmas movie.
That's right.
Dear Santa, I need a date. Maybe that should be a wish list for myself.
You have no problem.
Listen, everybody needs a good date.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or it's just a date.
Yeah. Right. No tenders or anything like that. Just watch this movie. You'll get everything you need.
That's
all the secrets. We're going to talk about the movie, all the things that you got going on with your career. But first, let's talk about these hot topics.
Okay.
And they're hot.
Speaking of Gabrielle Union, which we just mentioned, there is a whole bunch of messery that's going on America's Got Talent. Yeah. I used to watch that show a lot. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking about everything.
You should.
Mm-hmm. So as you guys know, I'm sure, have you been watching anything on TV or listening in the news, is that America's Got Talent is apparently not bringing back Gabrielle Union. Mm-hmm. Simon Cowell is the creator of the show.
Right.
And there's been a lot of back and forth about why her exit happened. She said that there was a lot of racial injustice that was kind of happening on the show. Mm-hmm. She had filed a couple complaints with human resources that she felt didn't get taken care of. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest things that just dropped this week was about her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And that she had been given notes from producers about her hair being too black.
Mm-hmm. Too black.
Are we in 2019?
Are we in 2019? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it continues on and on because the fact that, you know, she's saying this, then SAG-AFTRA's gotten involved now. Mm-hmm. They are looking into what's going on mm-hmm. on set.
And I was a former vice president.
You are a former vice president.
Made history.
Made history right here.
That's
See, I told y'all, royalty up in the house.
That's right.
So they're looking into everything here right now. And there's lots of people who are coming to Gabrielle's defense.
Yeah.
I mean, Larry Sims, her hairstylist, to Eva Longoria.
Deborah Messing.
Mm-hmm. Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah.
But the latest one that surprised me the most was Howard Stern.
I saw that.
Howard Stern. Yeah, Howard Stern. So Howard Stern was one of the original judges on the show.
Right.
And he had this to say, actually, about Mr. Simon Cowell. He said, AGT is a toxic culture behind the scenes during his Sirius Radio, Sirius mm-hmm. XM show. He also said this. He said about Simon, he said he constantly replaces the hot chicks with hotter chicks and younger chicks. And it's set up that most men stay no matter how ugly they are. You know, you gotta love Howard for throwing in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, there is a rotating door that seems to be happening with a lot of the women that are on the show. I mean, Heidi Klum used to be on the show.
Right.
Brandy was on the show.
Right.
There's been an assortment of different judges
Wasn't
on the
one
show.
Of the Spice Girls?
Mel B was on the show.
Sure.
And I know that they had a lot of back and forth in that show. We've had Mel B on Black Hollywood Live before, and she briefly spoke about it.
And even for Howard to say that, like,
that's big.
Because he is the provocateur, right?
And for him to come to her defense, and then now people actually are also going in on Terry Crews because he's the host.
I saw that too.
So apparently he did a tweet that said, you know, basically like, "I love Gabrielle, we'll miss you." And people are like, "That's all you got to say?"
Yeah.
You know, especially when he had his situation
with the agent and the sexual harassment stuff, she came to his defense
and was very vocal about
it.
So what do you guys think about all this?
Well, I'm Team Gabrielle,
of course.
Reagan and I were talking about this earlier. She is just as brave as Dr. Fiona Hill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's about time. Everyone in the industry has been in that awkward position.
Yeah.
I've been in it many times.
Absolutely.
And then you're labeled difficult. And then there, you know, you have a sit down with the executive producers.
Right.
That's happened to me more times than I can shake a stick at. But we have to speak up. And it's not what was fascinating about what Gabrielle did. She wasn't just complaining about the concerns of insensitivity towards African Americans.
Right, exactly.
She was universally on point.
She was.
And I find her, she is a hero in my book.
Yeah.
It, you know, one of the weird things, too, is that Gabrielle, when it comes to social media, she was the most popular judge. Mm-hmm. And her social media interactions were, like, most of them were from Gabrielle. So yeah. She's bringing more eyes to the show.
Absolutely.
She's bringing, you know, everybody wants to see what Gabrielle's doing. People like her fashion. They want to see her and what she has to say. So for this to happen to her when she's the most popular judge.
But maybe that's why.
That's true, because now the rumor is that Simon is known to also be very
jealous and proprietary, and
yes,
here's this black woman
this
getting
is,
more attention
right,
than
taking
he
his
did.
Lane and his
That's
space.
Right, right.
In fact, some of his alleged friends say that they hope that this changes kind of his thinking on the way that he picks his judges and the way he does his business.
No, he's not going to change
I anything. Doubt it. I mean, at this stage, no. I mean, yeah, right. You know.
But you see how like, whatever you want to call it, sexism, racism, whatever, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
She's bringing people to your show.
Absolutely.
What is your problem?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's another show.
That's another couple hours, actually.
That's why we have Trump as president.
Yeah, and as you were mentioning, the fact that there was one incident where they brought on Jay Leno, I guess as a guest mm-hmm, judge or mm-hmm. guest host or guest judge, mm-hmm. and he had seen a picture of Simon with his dogs and made some comment about mm-hmm. that the dogs look like they should belong at a Korean restaurant.
And we're in 2019. What is that?
Yeah, and
well,
how do you not know that's a bad
excuse,
joke?
But here's an excuse that you hear comics use all the time. Hey, you know what? I don't want to be filtered. Comedy is comedy, and anything is funny. You know, that doesn't cut it any longer.
No.
And he's Jay Leno. He's
right.
not just some random dude auditioning for SNL or something.
But maybe this is him.
That's true.
I guess so.
That's true. I was surprised by him, though. I really was.
Yeah, right?
I was surprised by him.
It's
so
random.
I mean, he's gone on to TMZ, spotted him out of some place, and he said he still loves Gabrielle. He said it was just a joke. He didn't mean anything
by it. Yeah, how
about
saying I'm sorry
right.
to the...
Yeah, he did. I didn't see a sorry.
And
yeah.
that's one of the things that she was saying, because she talked about some of the skits that she thought were racist or insensitive or whatever, mm-hmm. that they didn't air them.
Yeah.
But she said, why are you making the audience sit there
and watch?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. I'll tell you why. Because they still want to capture it for future broadcast.
True.
They still want to have that that safety
sense.
Valve to maybe stream it down
oh,
the line.
Wow.
I guarantee you, we will see these acts.
Yeah.
We'll
oh,
see
wow.
them at some
point.
And
they know everyone will go watch
they
and
know
click.
That. They yeah. know that, ooh, this is the act that, remember that Gabrielle said
right,
no to this?
Right,
yeah.
right,
That's
right.
what they're going to do. It's
That's true.
All about money, eyeballs.
Yeah, well, NBC, their producers did make a statement saying that the notes that they gave Gabrielle weren't about her having too black hair, but it was the continuity of her hairstyles.
Now, let me tell
you. What does that mean?
Okay. That means it changes. It's not just one style, because we can do everything.
Here's the hypocrisy. Bravo is owned by NBC Comcast.
Yeah. Mm.
Has anyone watched any of the reality shows
right.
on Bravo?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of the Housewives
right.
series on Bravo?
Right.
Each woman has a different hairstyle every episode, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's true.
So all of a sudden, they're the hair police.
right.
It's because she is African American and they're punishing her
mm-hmm.
for standing up and saying, that's a racist act, that's an unsensitive
right.
Projection of something, and they are punishing her, and they had to find a cause, and that was their cause.
They had to put her in her place.
They put her in her place.
It's like
they
you
thought.
Hate what she's doing, but she's also bringing attention to your show.
Right,
it's like,
right.
I don't know.
But in 2019, okay, I know that you both have said, or you mentioned that you've had some situations on set before.
Sure.
2019, for you to say, you know, about a hairstyle or a black woman's hairstyle at that, I'm just kind of flabbergasted that your NBC is that bold to
it
even
goes
do that.
On.
All the time
in commercial shoots,
mm-hmm.
You know, a hair and clothes have to be approved by producers before they're seen
mm-hmm.
on the screen. It
mm-hmm.
goes on all the time.
But what is too black? Like, what is a too black hairstyle?
It means if your hair changes too much. Which black women, we change our hair all the time,
right.
And that's one of the reasons why they hired Gabrielle, because she's gorgeous, she's a style
yeah.
icon, you know, she's stylish, and that's one of the reasons why people watch the show and interact with her on social media.
Yeah.
So that's what it is. She's changing her hairstyle too much for someone, not for us, but
for
someone.
Certainly not
for
the audience.
Yeah.
Certainly not for the audience.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see where this all lands because the saga continues.
You go, Gabrielle.
You go, Gabrielle.
That's right. We love you.
Stand up for yourself, girl. We love you.
And she's got a series.
She's got a series.
It's not like she was relying on that for a job.
Yeah, she's good.
She's got some
cheap
checks. And you know what else? I'm really happy that this happened in 2019. If it would have happened 5-10 years ago, it would have been brushed under the rug.
Yeah, you're right.
But now that we have social media and Me Too and all that, she has, everybody has her back.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's great.
You're right. Well, another strong woman who we're losing in the presidential election race is Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
She announced this week that she will not be running for the 2020 presidential election due to financial needs that her campaign does not have.
Mm-hmm.
I know she was set to have a pretty big A-lister event tonight in Hollywood because there's a lot of support around her. Mm-hmm. So I was sort of surprised that she decided to back out of the race.
She qualified for the next debate.
She did qualify. Mm-hmm. And they said that she, after leaving the race, that she only averaged like 3% support, which is pretty low.
Yeah, very low.
But after watching the debate a couple weeks back with the Democrats, I was like, you know, she's probably one of the stronger candidates.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
So I've run for office many, many times. Not on the scale of Kamala Harris, but politics is a nasty business.
Yeah.
And she just did not connect enough.
Yeah.
Now, why? I don't know. She's overqualified for the job.
Oh, absolutely.
It's tough for women. It is tough for women. Here you have, not to go too far off field, but here you have Pete Buttigieg, who is who is a mayor of, no offense, a very small, insignificant city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And this has been said by Amy Klobuchar, and it was said by Elizabeth Warren and others. Had Pete actually been Patricia, we would have never heard of Patricia Buttigieg.
Right.
Yeah.
So women in politics, even though there are many women in politics, it is still a man's playground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And for Kamala, being a woman of color, being female, being attractive.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That plays into it,
That's
too.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You're right.
She just did not connect.
Yeah. It's unfortunate because I feel like now.
But she'll be connecting at the Senate hearing.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
She'll be at the Senate hearing. Oh, yeah. She'll be there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, I was so looking forward to seeing her on the debate stage with Trump.
Me too.
Oh, I know.
Me too.
Oh,
yeah. Me too.
She would have been so
He
good.
Would not have shown up.
Maybe not.
He would not have shown up.
I can't even imagine him even going against
her. I feel like she's the only one that can really give it to him. Because
I think Amy Klobuchar can give it to him.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. I can see that. But Joe, they would just be bumbling.
Yeah. I have faith in Joe. I think Joe is going to step up to the plate.
We need somebody to at this point.
Give him some
he's
time.
Being real weird
be
out
right.
there.
And speaking of Trump, you know, his comment on Twitter, you know, he tried to make that little snide remark about her saying, and, you know, too bad we will miss you when she announced that she was leaving.
But her clap back.
She said, I'll see you at the trial. And listen, that's a mic drop right there. That's a mic
and
drop moment.
And he did not respond.
No, he didn't.
So she's going to be fantastic.
And I can't wait to see what else she does.
Yeah.
She'll run again.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure of it.
What I saw today is that she says that she will possibly run again.
Sure. What do you think about VP? We talked about that.
VP, I think that's a possibility.
Here's the problem. If it is Biden, Biden is the presumptive candidate, Biden doesn't need California.
Right.
So he doesn't need Kamala Harris to get him California. He already has the African-American vote.
Yeah.
What he needs is the Midwest. What he needs is Minnesota. What he needs is, I think he's going to ask Amy Klobuchar. Mm. And what happened was Kamala kind of screwed the pooch when she attacked Joe Biden on one of the first debates
about certain things.
And then it turned out that her clapback wasn't as accurate
as
it should have been.
Right, yeah.
So I don't see her as a viable VP. Overqualified. She's overqualified.
Yeah.
But
you see her as a number one.
I see her as a number one.
Yeah.
And he does not need California.
Right.
He already has California.
He already has, yeah. Now, I don't want to go away from the topic, but...
You know
this,
I love politics.
That's why I feel like I need to ask you this question, because it is about politics. So this whole thing with, you know, trying to impeach Trump... I'm finding it very interesting as I listen to it every day and kind of keep updated to what's going on.
Yeah.
It was fascinating today, but to me, it's like they're doing all this, but what's it really gonna? It's not. I just don't see it happening.
Mm.
I mean, I feel like it's going to carry on right through to the actual election, and then he'll somehow, mm-hmm. It'll all just magically disappear and he'll be
here's my response.
Right at the top again.
Here's my response. Do we not do something just because we think it's not going to prevail?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
We have to do something. This is in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whether we prevail or not, whether we know he's not going to be removed from office. Mm-hmm. Mathematically, it's just not going to happen in the Senate. Okay.
Yeah.
But what would that say about us? What mm-hmm. would that say about our country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That when we saw something going down, that we just said, okay. First of all, we know, had President Obama...
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Need I say
I
more?
I mean, it wouldn't even have been... It would have been like a one day...
It would have been one day you're out.
You're out. Yeah,
and also, like, they keep talking about, you know, the 2016 election. They skip right over the 2018 election.
Right.
Where the House flipped...
That's
people,
right.
it's
right.
the same
yeah.
thing.
That's correct.
People put Democrats in power in the House to do this.
That's correct.
You're right. Yeah.
That
That's
was
true.
The
You're
impeachment.
Right.
Yes.
This was...
Yes.
America has spoken.
Yeah. This was the first election after 2016.
That's right.
A message was sent to
yeah.
Congress.
That's
right.
true.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, will he be impeached? No.
Yeah.
But we have to adhere to this process.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with that as well. Well, we're going to end the topics on a very positive note. Are you a ballet lover? Have you gone to any ballet
events? I've gone to
events?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I know what you're about to say.
Well,
Misty
Copeland was our sweetheart, our
yeah.
number one, still my number one.
Yeah.
Misty, you know, Santa needs a date. You know what I'm saying? you know, just saying. So anyway, there is a new
yes.
young ballerina, mm-hmm. African-American. Her name is Charlotte Nabrice.
Mm-hmm.
She has just been cast in The Nutcracker
mm-hmm.
As the lead at Lincoln Center. And she's only 11 mm-hmm. years old.
And she's
old.
Actually mixed race.
She's mixed race.
Filipino.
Filipino and
Trinidadian.
Trinidadian, yes.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we claim her.
Well,
yes,
yeah,
that's
and,
right.
she, and her family claims her as black.
Yes,
so,
right.
Yes. And,
unlike Tiger Woods.
Unlike,
there you go.
See what happened to your tiger when you didn't claim the blackness? See? No, I'm just playing. What I love about this girl, though, is she's so mature at 11 years old,
yeah.
which I would imagine you need to be,
yeah.
be taking
yeah.
on that type of pressure and role.
Right, right.
So she, when she said, this was her quote, she said, she was talking about Misty Copeland. She said, I saw her dance when I was 6 years old,
mm-hmm.
and she was just so inspiring and so beautiful. When I saw someone who looked like me on stage, I thought, that's amazing. She was representing me and all the people like me.
Aww.
That was when she was six, she thought that.
Sweet,
I'm like,
baby.
But that's why it's so important to have representation.
Yep.
Yeah.
I remember when, I forget how old I was, but I saw Denise Nicholas on room 222.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, oh, and I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I needed to see something like that to know that I could do that too.
Yeah,
well, you've done that for us.
You've done, I was going to say.
That's right.
That's right.
You can send the check, too.
I like that. She also said, after her mom told her that she got the job, I like this response. She was like, you know, you're the first
mm-hmm.
young 11-year-old black dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, wow, that seems like a little late.
Look at these
that.
Kids, I'm
like,
telling
okay.
you, these kids, they know.
Yeah.
And they're tired.
They're
and
tired.
They just got here.
They just got here.
So were they born woke?
Yes.
they were born woke.
And tired.
They real woke.
They came out of the womb.
They
woke.
Came
yes.
out woke as I don't know what woke is. Yeah, they did. So congratulations to her. I'm looking
yeah.
forward to see where her career takes
Good
her.
For her.
Misty Copeland was on GMA this morning, and I love what she was saying. She brought a bunch of young ballerinas that were probably in the age range of like
mm-hmm.
6 to 10,
mm-hmm.
and she was saying, you know, what I love about what she represents, and also now the 11-year-old, is that it's not about color. It's
mm-hmm.
like now they're going to look at her and be like, oh. I can do that
that's
too.
That's my favorite.
That's
ballerina.
My favorite ballerina.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about that's my favorite black ballerina.
Right.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So,
that's why this we're going in the right path.
Yeah. Right path.
Trump is just a bump.
He's a bumpity bump.
He's
bump.
A bumpity bump, bump,
bump.
Right.
All right, Christmas is here.
Hey.
And so is Dear Santa, I Need a Date, coming to TV One on December 8th.
Yay!
All right, I want to know all about this movie, because I'm all about a holiday movie, too. Put me in. I get, you know, I get my popcorn, a little glass of wine.
Yes, that's
you know, I get
right.
ready. So tell
that's
me about
right.
tell me about what the movie is.
Well, Dear Santa, I Want a Date is about the Vaughn family. My
mm-hmm.
character, Janelle Vaughn, Mama Vaughn, and Ray J plays my brother, Jason Vaughn. We are, entrepreneurs. We are young business owners in Atlanta. I have a coffee shop. He has a management, sports management company. So we are living it up in Atlanta. So we go home to our parents' house for Thanksgiving, and they hound us about grandbabies.
Yeah.
Like, it's like most parents.
Yes, grandbabies. And, of course, me and my brother, we're not thinking about that at all, but we make a date or we make a bet that for Christmas, whoever is the first one to fall in love and bring a date home for Christmas dinner wins.
Wins the bet.
That is the movie. That is the premise of the movie, and you just have to watch and see what happens.
It's very, very funny.
What makes this a little bit different from other Christmas movies?
We're black.
Power to the people.
Period. Yes. And Terry J. Vaughn is directing.
I saw B. Simone is also in it. Devon Johnson.
Yes. Yep.
So all-star cast as well.
All-star cast. I was kidding, but it's a very diverse cast. Reagan and I were talking about this earlier. We're huge fans of traditional holiday films.
Yeah.
Yes.
We
were. But something was, except for the one that you love, that has blackface.
Which one?
So my mother is a baby boomer. She grew up with a lot of old movies. We grew up watching a movie called White Christmas, which is a great...
And there's blackface in it.
Well, is that Bing Crosby?
Yes! Yeah. Oh. They ever have blackface. But it's, song, you know, it's the old songs.
I get it.
She's like, oh, so now it's nice to say that, you know, the evolution of television and of film, people will be able to relate to this film.
Yes.
Because it's populated by people of color. But the story is universal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's like a feel-good.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
It is. So I should bring the family over to watch
it. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you won't be embarrassed.
Oh, no. Okay. No. It's a family movie. It's romantic. It pulls at your heartstrings. It's silly. So it has everything.
I love that. It really does.
Well, you both have been in this industry for a while. I mean, you know, this, like I said, I really was so excited to have you both in the studio because I've never met either one of you.
That's right, yeah.
And your careers, I mean, have just spanned just all over the globe. And what do you think now as a 2019 actress, and you guys have been in this industry for a while, what do you think is something that's significantly changed since you started in this industry? Because I know there's a lot of people now who are coming in, who are younger, who, you know, there's so many more places that they can go, Netflix or streaming services or whatever, to get a project. But it was different when you both started.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you seen it change for black women actually specifically?
Well, for me, I was kind of lucky because I started on The Parenthood.
Yeah.
And Robert Townsend, that was his show. He was already creating. He was doing Netflix before Netflix was even there. He was already creating his own films and writing and directing his own films. So that's my foundation in Hollywood. So when I got out of that and saw that most sets were not like that and didn't have casts and directors and black directors and black women directors, like, we had all of that on The Parenthood. And even the shows that were on the WB and UPN, it was very similar, a lot of those shows there. So when I got out of that and saw how it really was in Hollywood, it was a bit sad. And, it, if you're not a strong person, you can kind of lose a sense of who you are, especially being a black woman actor. I mean, there are only so many sassy best friends
I can play.
I can't be the lead, but I can be the sassy black friend I think now, you know, it's not just Robert Townsend, it's not just Keenan Ivory Wayans, it's we have Ava DuVernay, we have Ryan Coogler, we have Barry Jenkins, we have Lena Waithe, we have Issa Rae. I mean, it's like Jordan Peele. We have the doors being kicked open. And I think that's something that we have learned, is that it can't just be one or two or three. We literally have to kick the door open so that it can't be closed again. And I really appreciate, too, how not only do we have all of these content creators, but we are stepping into genres that we've never really been in before.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Peele when it comes to horror, like Black Panther and sci-fi and all this other stuff. So it's really a whole new world. There's still not a lot of us, but I feel like the opportunities are there.
I think what I've seen, and I agree with Reagan, what I've seen is... I lived through the white season. I don't know if either of you remember that, but it took place in the 90s. It was an eye-opening examination of the lack of opportunities. And so when I was at the Screen Actors Guild, I was allowed to commission, along with Dr. Darnell Hunt, the African-American Television Report. And what we did was we viewed hundreds of hours of television, and we broke it down to how many people of color were working, specifically African American. What type of roles did they have?
Right.
And was it helping move the story along? So then that came out of the white season, when there was a pilot season that there were no people of color working.
Wow.
So, you know, through that, I believe now there's a sense of sustainability. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of we're here and we're not going anywhere. The problem is that the we are not being paid what we should be paid.
Still.
We are still hobbyists. You cannot make a living at this any longer. Mm-hmm. When I started out, and there were, and I sound like a, you know, Eve Arden with a cigarette in my mouth.
Well, you don't look like you age at all. So.
But when I started, there it was just NBC, ABC, and CBS. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
And you were paid a middle class living. You could live, you know, a comfortable middle class life.
Was that if you were a series regular or even guest starring?
Doesn't matter. In any role. Feature, guest star, recurring, series regular. There was no salary compression.
Yeah.
You could actually have a quote. That has disappeared. And so, unfortunately, a lot of younger actors don't realize what they won't be getting.
Yeah.
So you do have – it's a side gig.
Yeah.
It's a side gig. That's crazy. We were able to rely on residuals. We can't rely on residuals any longer because everything is streaming on social media platforms and we don't get paid. Or we get $27 a year for unlimited reruns.
Right.
Or two cents. I've gotten a two-cent residual.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a two-cent residual.
Yeah, sure.
I deposited it. But I mean,
Just because. I might frame it.
I have a minus. I have something where I owe MGM something.
Wow.
So even though the opportunities are there, it's fantastic, you cannot make a living.
And has it changed a little bit with the pay scale as far as like male versus female? Because I know that was, you know, that's been really big in the news.
It's horrible.
It's not getting equal?
No.
Okay.
No, it's horrible.
Okay.
And unfortunately, once a woman, and this is statistically proven because the Screen Actors Guild keeps track of this, once a woman hits 40, the window of opportunity of employment shuts.
I thought that had changed, though.
No.
Because I feel like I see a lot more actresses who are over 40 who are getting work, but maybe I'm...
But they may be getting work, but what are they getting paid?
Okay.
They may be getting work, but how many auditions did it take to get that?
The end product.
The end product. Right. Yeah.
Even when you hear, like, Viola Davis talk about how she got How to Get Away with Murder, she had done, like, 12 pilots before then.
Yeah.
And even, nominated for Academy Award.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And even what we're talking about with Gabrielle and what she's going through on AGT. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm recurring on a show called Queen Sugar.
Yes, you are.
That is the first show that has only had women directors. She was able to do that because it is on a network owned by Oprah Winfrey.
Right.
Wow. Oprah Winfrey was able to say, yes, Ava DuVernay.
Yeah.
And this is after Ava DuVernay was, you know, the Oscar so white. And she's been, you know, Selma and she, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's steps that have to happen, even for this to happen on Queen Sugar, to have, you know, only women directors.
It's still very
arduous. And it's still not happening all the time.
Yeah. Well, do you see it as, you know, since we are in this midst of a somewhat change, even if it's a slow change, are we getting to a place where it's, I feel like right now it's like the black fad. Like everybody wants to have black content now. Like, you know, networks are now looking at stuff that they would never look at before. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're going to get to a place where actually it's not about just black, it's not a black content, it's just a great show with, and it happens to be two people of color on the show? Or are we going to go kind of like, oh, it's hot now, but then 2 years from now, this is going to be hot, you know?
So I got my start in the 90s. And the middle of the 90s and the end of the 90s, there was so much black content, from music to movies to TV. And then we went through the 2000s, and it's like all that black content went away. I feel like now is different because of the reasons I stated before.
Yeah.
But we need more people like, you know, all of these amazing directors in power positions, which is why I write and direct now myself. Yeah. I've been writing and directing for a while now. I don't know. I hope not, but you have more history. What do you feel
like? Well, here's the problem. I mean, we've been down this road before. We termed it the ghettoization of television.
Mm-hmm.
When the UPN and the WB and BET for basic cable. That's where our content went.
Yeah.
And the powers that be at the leading networks and studios were relieved of any obligation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was adamantly against the ghettoization of content because I knew that ABC, NBC, and CBS and Fox would just raise up their hands and say, what are you complaining about? You've got BET. Yeah. You have the WB prior to their change into CW. So now I'm happy that there is a TV One and a BET and a Bounce, and there's going to be a new news network that J.C. Watts is. Because our content has to go somewhere, and maybe salary compression is still a problem, but there's still more creative freedom because you don't get paid on social media. Mm-hmm. Traditional broadcast is still the best way to deliver work because it's union, and you get your health and pension, and you get a protected salary. The social media platforms, you don't get that.
Tell them about the. I'm sorry, we're just having our own.
I love this. I feel like I'm getting the inside.
What we were saying about how, you know, someone like me, I got my start, my directing start on social media. I just, you know, saved up money. I did crowdfunders on Twitter. Reagan Gomez on Twitter. And I was able to use that money to fund web series that I did that I just put on YouTube and on my website, and I've done a few of them since then. My last one was nominated for a Gotham Award. But when we were talking, tell them about how that may not be, even though you have access to, you know, on Twitter or Instagram, you have access to millions of people with your art, it may not be the smartest thing to do that.
You lose control.
Okay.
Right? So, and you won't have control in the monetization of your content. So when you're providing content to a distributor, YouTube and others, you've now lost control. You've also created a mindset in the viewer of, I don't need to pay for this.
True.
Yeah. I can just download it and stream it.
Yeah.
And I can stream it. I can cut it up. Yeah. I can use it on my own social media. I can do this. I can do that. And it has completely deteriorated the proprietary nature of Reagan's work.
Yeah.
So it's even though it's fantastic to have these opportunities to create and distribute your content, you are cannibalizing your work and not being compensated for it fairly. And then when you try to ask for fair compensation, the powers that be look at you and say, you've been doing this for free. Now you want?
Right, right.
Or they'll offer you something, but you don't know about residuals.
You don't know about the union
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it's created. This is not happenstance. I used to be on the negotiating committee since 1997. Our employers knew this was coming down the pike.
Yeah.
And they knew what the future was going to be. They knew they were going to be able to get profitable content, and the salary was going to be minimum wage, which it is now on a lot of social media content, and no residuals. Mm. But they would profit from the ad-supported revenue, ad-supported streaming. So they knew this was happening.
That's crazy.
So writers, directors, and actors, musicians, we get the short end of the stick. And it's going to have to take a catastrophic strike. And I know people hate that, and it's a frightening thing. But in order to right this ship, it's going to take a catastrophic strike from all of the unions together to fix this.
It needs to happen, but that's scary, you know. What would you tell a young black actress or director coming into the game right now? What would be some key piece of advice you would give them, both of you?
I would say, I mean, before I talk to Anne about all this, I've been on Twitter for 10 years, Instagram for 8 years. So, like, I'm in social media, and I've created a very great community of aspiring black writers and directors, and met amazing people that I wouldn't have been able to meet, you know, outside of social media or whatever. So my initial reaction to that would be to just save your money and just put it out. For me, it was like taking the middleman out. Instead of going to my agents and saying, look, I have this, and having to wait for them to shop it or not shop it, or having to go ask people for whatever, I'm like, look, I have this opportunity to just put it out. But now hearing Anne talk about that, the long term, it can't just be about what I can do now or what I can do this year. It has to be more long term. So I don't know, honestly.
Well, unfortunately, we have a whole generation that is all about, I want it now.
Yeah.
I want to see it when I want to see it. I want to listen to it when I want to listen to it. I want it for free. I don't want to. So that's going to be a very difficult mindset to try to expand. Mm-hmm. I'm old school. That's why I really don't participate in social media, because my image, I need to protect. This is the only thing I have that I can monetize and make a middle class living.
Yeah.
And I need to protect it. So what I would tell an aspiring artist, actor who happens to be African American, study, study, study. Learn everything you can about the industry. If you don't succeed in front of the camera, you may be an incredible editor.
That's very true.
You may be an incredible gaffer.
That's
you
true.
May be an incredible writer or makeup artist or a wardrobe stylist, right? There are more employed below the line than they are
right,
in front
true.
Of the camera.
Yeah.
Right.
You can't be one-dimensional.
Well, at any time, the Screen Actors Guild, maybe 90% of our membership is unemployed.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
That's scary.
Yeah.
But especially living in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So everyone has a gig. Everyone has a side gig.
Yeah. Well, you both were, ours.
How depressing was that?
I'm sorry.
No, it's real.
Merry
people need
Christmas.
To know.
Happy Hanukkah.
No, people ask me all the time about like getting in the industry and like what, you know, longevity. And I'm like, listen, you got to not
tough.
Be one dimensional.
You
tough.
Have to have thick skin, a wonderful foundation. Both in faith and in family and in friends. And you have to know, you have to really know what your limitations are, because I have to tell you, not everyone can do everything.
That's very true.
That's the truth.
That's true.
That's the truth.
Well, you both had such significant parts in Black pop culture. I mean, listen. What would Nadine from What's Happening be doing today?
Aw, what's happening?
Aw, Nadine. She'd be divorced and dating a white guy.
Okay. No more. Bye, Raj.
Bye, Raj.
Bye, Raj.
Oh,
what would Zaria be doing?
Oh, gosh. She'd probably have a podcast. She probably would have gone to an HBCU somewhere. Either a podcast, maybe, or in politics somewhere.
Okay. Sorry, would have flipped it a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, look at that. See, things happen when you evolve. When you're stuck in reruns, we have to be creative.
You have to be creative.
Because we're stuck in, those characters are stuck in reruns.
That's the truth.
Well, you both have great new projects going on. I know you both, you were talking about Ava, but you have something that you have going on right now.
Working on an Ava DuVernay.
Cherish the Day.
You Cherish the Day. It'll be. I guess it'll be premiering in the winter, this winter, and for on the OWN network.
Okay, and then I know you got a lot of good stuff going on.
My favorite show, Queen Show.
I'm reoccurring on that. So, you know, they just got picked up.
She said, like, oh, I'm just, yeah, I'm just kind of,
what is that?
I think I've heard of that show.
So, they just got picked up for another season. I am writing and directing as well, so I hope to have some.
I'll be asking her for a job very soon.
Me too.
So I hope to have some news at the beginning of the year. I also have a podcast called Reaganomics. We are on Spotify, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.
And what kind of things do you talk about?
Oh, it's me and my husband. We talk about everything. Politics, pop culture. I've been in the business forever. He's been in the music business. Yeah. He was signed to Michael Jackson and modeled for Vogue and all, you know,
they used
overseas.
To call him Baby Tyson Bedford.
They did! Yeah. Look at you doing your homework! Yeah. That's right. So we have interesting perspectives on the business and, you know, being parents now and raising children and still working, like she said. Like,
it's a miracle.
Constant grind.
It's a grind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just celebrate your 20th anniversary, correct?
We did, yes.
Okay, so you're married as well.
Been with the same person for 34 years.
How do you stay in this entertainment biz and stay loving and happy and in a solid marriage?
We live very far, and that is on purpose. People do not that I can go to the grocery store or take my kids to soccer practice. Nobody gives a damn who I am, what I've been in, or whatever. So I like that separating home and work.
Yeah. Smart,
That has been really great for us. His family is very close by. So we keep our family tight. We keep our circle tight, and we like it that way. And we mind our business.
Mind your business.
For me, I really live outside of myself. So I really spend more time serving the public than I do.
I love that.
I mean, I love this business, and it's obviously afforded me a very comfortable life, but it's also allowed me to serve the public. So being able to assist is keeps my relationship grounded because there is nothing as phony as this industry.
Very true. Really,
and it's exhausting, and that's why I don't participate in any social media except for promoting shows, because it's so toxic and it's such a waste of time when it's used poorly that my husband and I stay away from it, and we just take care of ourselves and the people we love, and we play a lot of golf.
Mm. I love that. Any big holiday plans?
We'll be at home. We're going to go to the snow. Yeah,
home, playing golf. Mm-hmm.
Home is my favorite place to be.
Yes, definitely. How about you?
I'm from Ohio, so I'll be going to Ohio to visit my family. My sister just had a baby. Well, it's a year and a half now. She's a year and a half now.
That's a year and a half.
Yeah, well, I guess because I don't see her as much, so it seems like she's still a little baby.
Oh, you're an uncle.
I'm an uncle, and she looks like me. So.
Oh!
Like, her father, my brother-in-law, is like, she looked more like you than she does me.
Happens. My daughter looks just like my husband's sister.
Really?
And her daughter looks like my husband.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. You never know. You genetics. Never know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I have to go. We're going to get out of here. But you had a quote or a tweet that you put that it just really resonated to me. No, it was about celebrating your birthday. And your anniversary. I love the fact that you said, low-key just had a 20th wedding anniversary in November. November 19th, we drove your Escalade to, is it Laughlin, Nevada, to get married, bumping the chronic 2003 the whole way. I feel that. It was like,
smoking weed. Smoking weed.
I love it. Yes, well, it has been a pleasure to have you both here. Please come back.
Thank you.
Everybody watch TV One December 8th.
It's Sunday, yeah.
This Sunday. Dear Santa, I need a date. Where can fans find you on social media?
At AMJ Loves LA.
Yes. Reagan Gomez on Twitter. That's where I live. On Instagram as well, but I live on Twitter.
Well, I'll be watching the movie. You guys watch the movie. Please come back anytime you want. Loved having you both, and I wish we had 5 more hours to talk about everything in life.
Just have us back.
We'll have you back.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
Thank you.
We'll check y'all out next week.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.